but that's the old me. Shouting out of my windows, roll down, 'cause I don't care anymore, said I don't care.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. I don't know about you, but when I hear that music every week, it just gets me going. I'm standing here in the studio just kind of bopping along and mouthing the words along with our good buddy Matt from Matt and Kim. We've got a lot of great stuff to talk about this week, and I've got two of my favorite pop culture prognosticators on the line with me to talk about what's happening, including the Emmy nominations, which is where we're going to start this week. First of all, joining us from Vinyl Muse, Wilkes.
Hello. And yes, that music should get you going because it's literally telling you to.
Yeah, absolutely. Movies Are Terrible. Please welcome Jeremy Branch.
Thanks for having me back, Julio. I'm excited to talk some TV stuff with you guys.
Always glad to have Jeremy, and we always have a lot of great stuff to talk about, and this week is no exception. You know, there are about 940 million TV series out there, so going through the Emmy nominations is going to take a little while. We'll probably get through a couple of segments, I think, before we're done with that, and then we'll move on to some other stuff. But, there's so many series, like I said, and there's so many different... You can't even say networks anymore. There's so many programming services out there because, you know, we've got all these streaming services and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we're going to go through these nominations, and don't feel bad if you haven't heard of or seen all of these series because, you know, in a lot of cases, some of us that are talking to you on the radio right now have not heard of or seen all of these things either. There's just so much time in the day. But the good thing about these nominations, I think more than anything, is when you're looking for something to watch and you don't know what to watch next, checking these out, you know, they've got kind of a seal of approval from, you know, the people in the industry that they think these are good programs that that people should be checking out. So we'll start with Outstanding Comedy Series. And the nominations are Curb Your Enthusiasm, Dead to Me, The Good Place, Insecure, The Kominsky Method, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Schitt's Creek, and that is S-C-H-I-T-T, so I'm not breaking any FCC rules by telling you the name of that series. And last but not least, What We Do in the Shadows. Jeremy, do you have any particular favorites amongst this this grouping of series?
You know, I totally agree with what you said about the Emmys and Oscars being a great opportunity to kind of find suggestions that already kind of have been pre-screened. It gives you a good idea of, if you want to find some good comedy series, you can always look at the list of Emmy nominees and at least get a good idea about what the consensus is. Curb has been a favorite of mine for a long time, and I don't want to get too meta in my approach to how I feel like these things are going to be broken down. But I think Curb is a good one that has kind of stuck around for long enough to pick up the accolades and the critical acclaim, things like that. Dead to Me is a very good show. I feel like the comedy series to beat this year is Schitt's Creek. It's not necessarily my favorite of all of these. I do just feel like it's got a very talented ensemble cast. Everybody in it are big favorites of mine. I really like Catherine O'Hara, all the way back to, Beetlejuice or whatever I saw her in first. I've been a fan of her for a long time. So I think that Schitt's Creek has a pretty good chance of cleaning up and definitely the Outstanding Comedy Series, because I feel like as much as it should be judged objectively, we can't help but kind of come into it with a little bit of a bias and say, well, Schitt's Creek has been overlooked or hasn't got the accolades for a long time. This is an opportunity to kind of, reward them or award them for the series that they've made. So I really do think that we got a good chance that Schitt's Creek is going to win the Outstanding Comedy Series. I'd kind of like to see something like What We Do in the Shadows win, though.
Well, you know, it's a series that a lot of people think is new or have just discovered because it's only recently come to Netflix, but it airs on kind of an obscure network called Pop, and this is actually not the start of the series, it's the end of the series. This season that it's currently nominated for is the final season, I believe the fifth season, if I'm remembering correctly. So a lot of people have just discovered the show in the last year, but it's actually the final opportunity to award that show. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are predicting that's one that could take home a lot of awards. You know, you mentioned Catherine O'Hara, but also Eugene Levy, you know, people that we've been watching going back all the way to SCTV. So, you know, that there's definitely some sentiment there, and there's definitely some critical acclaim there. So that could be one. But I think the other show that is kind of the chief rival that a lot of people expect to see clean up, and, you know, has certainly cleaned up at the Emmys in the past and won several awards, is the one that I know Chris likes to cheerlead for. So, Chris, I'll let you run with The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I just, and again, as we've spoken, and even in this particular conversation, there's just so much TV out there, or I guess what we just refer to as TV now, whatever we watch at home that's not a feature movie. And I've seen very little of what's nominated this year. I've seen a couple of episodes of Schitt's Creek. I thought it was very, very funny. It's just one of those, like, oh, I'm just going to have to, you know, it kind of got away from me, so I'm going to have to sit and, you know, devote a whole weekend, that kind of thing, and I just haven't done it yet. Same with catching up on Curb. Obviously, you know, I've been a Curb fan since the beginning.
I can tell you who could not be. I'm going to derail you for just a second, because I'll tell you who could not be. I'm not. I watched the first season. I didn't get into it. I like Larry David. I'm a Seinfeld fan, but Curb just does not do it for me. I don't know what it is. I recognize that it's well made, but no, I mean, you know, I'm good with, you know, the meta of it all and all that kind of stuff, and I'm fine with cranky stuff. Just, I do not connect with the show, and I know it's not that it's not a quality show. It's just not for me.
I was going to say, some of the I guess what you just call cringe comedy, even if I like it and I think it's witty and hilarious, I have to turn it off sometimes. It's going to give me an anxiety attack. Like, I don't know how many times I can see Ricky Gervais stick his foot in his mouth and not turn the channel and be like, I can't even watch this. It's a train wreck.
No, see, and I can watch Ricky Gervais all day. It's just something about Curb doesn't connect for me.
As far as What We Do in the Shadows, I'm a huge fan of the movie. I've seen it so many times. I've had 50 people that I know and love and respect tell me that the series is good, but the first round of, like, promos for the series, I just looked at and was like, I don't need to see this. And I've been told over and over again that that's not the case and that it's good or better than the movie and yada yada. I just haven't gotten around to actually diving in to figure that out for myself.
We'll come back to that. Don't worry.
That said, as far as telling every single person I know that it's the best thing on TV or quote-unquote TV right now, or at least of what I've seen, because we can all only watch so much, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is the best thing I've seen in ages. It's the best cast. I mean, it's just top to bottom, like, the best character actors of the last 30 years, and people just keep showing up and crushing it on that show. And story-wise, and the whole period aesthetic to it, it's a Mad Men era, but from an actual woman's perspective and not a bunch of a-hole rich dude's perspective. The music in it is great. I don't know that you even know this, but the music that happens within the confines of the show is all very period specific, but every episode ends with a completely anachronistic song, usually late 70s, early 80s alternative or new wave, but that at the same time brilliantly encapsulates whatever the theme of that episode was.
See, that doesn't surprise me, because I'm a big fan of Amy Sherman Palladino, who's the creator of the show. I was a big fan of Gilmore Girls. So
the things that I've been most drawn to in the entire age of streaming television or whatever have been female-led shows, and not just on the side of what stories are being told and what the cast is, but behind the scenes as well, the writers and producers and whatnot. And that's why I have such an affinity for GLOW and Orange New Black and whatnot, but even out of all of those, and you know what a huge fan I am of those two shows, Maisel is just crushing everything left and right.
Well, we will talk some more about that. We'll talk some more about that and the rest of the comedy categories after the break. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
got no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead and out of this world.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We are talking about the Emmy nominations with Chris Wilkes and Jeremy Branch. And we started to talk a little bit about the show that I'm going to go to bat for here in this category, an outstanding comedy series. And you just heard a little bit of the theme song from it, What We Do in the Shadows. Man, if you are a fan of that movie, you need to see the show for sure. But even if you're not, it is just hilarious. It is, you know, for those that don't know anything about the show, it is a mockumentary about a documentary crew that is following a group of vampires and they're familiar through everyday life. And
in New Zealand.
Yeah, no, the series.
Did the show bring it here?
The series is in the U.S. Yeah, they live in Staten Island, and the vampires in the series live in Staten Island, and they are the vampire coven of Staten Island. They have a very limited territory. There's a separate coven over in Manhattan, and it's a
At
whole
any point
it's a whole
did
thing.
They run into the Warriors.
They do not run into the Warriors, but they do run into other supernatural beings, and it is very much in the same universe as the film. If you saw the film that came out a couple years ago, those vampires were in New Zealand, and the film was written together by Jermaine Clement, who you probably know from Flight of the Conchords, done a bunch of other stuff as well, and then Taika Waititi, who directed it. He is a Academy Award-nominated director for Jojo Rabbit this past year and an Academy Award-winning screenwriter for that particular film. Also directed Thor Ragnarok and is kind of like the hot director of the moment. They create
him real quick side note. And because off the air, we were talking about quarantine streaming shows on YouTube and whatnot. You know, the Russo brothers have their quarantine show Pizza Film School. And there's a recent episode of that with Waititi that centers around Flash Gordon. Obviously, they talk about all of his other stuff as well, but mostly it's about the movie Flash Gordon and what influence that was on Ragnarok. It's great. The whole series is great. But
well,
just
and
wanted to point that out.
He's supposed to be tied to an animated Flash Gordon film as well. So.
Yeah. He's in development on that right now. But yeah.
Well, so anyway, these guys did this film. They did it in New Zealand. They set it in New Zealand. It's a great comedy film. You should check it out. And then they turned it into a TV series following a different group of vampires. But it is in the same universe. You do see some of those characters from the film show up again, including the characters played by Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi. So that's a mild spoiler, but it's pretty well out there that two seasons in that they've showed up on the show. It definitely takes place in the same world, but it is just hysterically funny. And it makes fun of the conventions of the genre while still respecting and loving the genre. They get some of the most amazing guest stars that you can possibly imagine. There's one particular episode towards the end of the first season where the vampires that are central to the series are accused of crimes against vampires, and they face a tribunal that is made up entirely of people you know for playing vampires and other things. And
you got to throw me one or two.
Tilda Swinton, Wesley,
okay.
Wesley
oh,
Snipes.
Huh?
Yeah. So
that's sold.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. And the series has just gotten better in the second season. And this is my pick for what I would choose to see win. And I would choose to see it win over The Good Place, which I really, really love. And is a series that has just recently ended. So it's kind of a shame that it hasn't won this award before, because I think it has deserved it since season one. I would not break my heart to see them win at all. But
you said something about Christina Applegate on that.
Christina Applegate is on Dead to Me.
So, oh, okay, yeah. Okay. It's a good place, the Kristen Stewart one?
Kristen Bell.
Yeah. Kristen Bell. Sorry.
I'm aware of we don't have a Kristen Stewart sitcom yet. It's only a matter of time, but yet we do not have a Kristen Stewart sitcom. No, Kristen Bell, yeah, this is the one where, you know, these people have died and they've gone to heaven, and then wackiness ensues. with Ted Danson, and you know, great cast on that, and a lot of nominations that for that this year as well, which I'm glad to see. Wouldn't mind seeing it picking up an award or two, but my pick would definitely be for What We Do in the Shadows. I want to mention there's a couple of shows in here as well that I don't think any of us have watched, but just so people know what they are and that they're out there. Insecure is an HBO series. It stars and was created by and is run by Issa Rae, who's a name you might have heard a lot recently. She is a very well-respected creator, writer, actress, and in the Black community especially. And this show's gotten a lot of great critical attention. And then The Kominsky Method is on Netflix, and that is a series that is starring Michael Douglas. So I think, you know, a lot of you know who he is and might be something you want to check out. We didn't talk too much about Dead to Me, but that is...
Didn't he produce a Chorus Line?
Yeah, man, that might be a little bit of a deep reference for the show. I know, Jeremy, you said that you are a fan of Dead to Me, and mentioning, you know, Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini star in that series. They're both nominated for Best Actress, so they're going up against each other. So any particular favorites that among the acting for any of these shows or for any other shows where there may be some nominations? And we can read the nominations here if everybody would like
Christina Applegate in Dead to Me, Rachel Brosnahan in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Linda Cardellini in Dead to Me, Catherine O'Hara in Schitt's Creek, Issa Rae, who you just mentioned from Insecure, and then Tracy Ellis Ross from Blackish. It's an interesting thing, and I always have to wonder how the actresses or the actors feel in this kind of situation. Like, I think Applegate was fantastic. I think Cardellini was fantastic, and they both very much deserve the accolades and the nominations. It's kind of a shame to see one win over the other, but if I had to pick, I'm going Linda Cardellini all day. I absolutely love her. I think she's fantastic. She's got this, like, real empathy and, like, down-to-earthiness that I really like about her. But then also, I'd love to see Catherine O'Hara win something for Schitt's Creek, just because I feel like she is such an iconic comedic voice that just really, she's been present for so long that it would be nice to see her.
I mean, has she ever won anything before?
Not,
I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of, no.
And I mean, from you know, broad mainstream comedies to all the guest movies, to SCTV and everything she's done in between, that blows my mind that she has never, or at least has never won anything that any of us can think of.
Well, and you know,
brilliant.
If you believe the people that make these predictions for a living, the race there is really between her and Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Of course, she won the Emmy for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel the first season of the show, and then last season she lost to Phoebe Waller-Bridge for Fleabag, but that was a one-season show.
Even not having seen Schitt's Creek other than two or three episodes and not knowing, you know, the whole, you know, breadth of the whole thing, and despite my love for Maisel, I think Maisel still has legs in it to win a lot more, and Rachel has legs in it to win a lot more. I'd go ahead and throw in for Catherine O'Hara just because.
Well, and let's
on
mention,
that note, I do think that Rachel Brosnahan is one of the most charming people in the world. Like, it took two episodes to fall in love with her in Mrs. Maisel, but I agree with you. I think there's longevity there, and she's already been compensated for her wonderful performance. So I would like to see it kind of get spread around a little bit more.
I'm gonna go with that. I'm with you, man.
Well, and
sight unseen or three episodes. Ish unseen, but yeah, I agree.
Let's give a shout to the lead actor nominees as well. You've got Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Don Cheadle for Black Monday, Ted Danson for The Good Place, Michael Douglas for The Kominsky Method, Eugene Levy for Schitt's Creek, and Rami Youssef for Rami. Or I don't know if that's pronounced Rami or Rami, to be completely honest with you. It's R-A-M-Y.
Neither do I.
And this is a series I just have not seen at all. I believe it's on Hulu. I know I've seen ads for it, but I haven't seen it at all. But he is a Middle Eastern gentleman, and it is a comedy from that perspective. So from a diversity standpoint, it's great to see that nomination. I haven't seen the show, but maybe I'll check it out. I'll be honest with you. The only one of these I've really watched to any great extent is Ted Danson in The Good Place. You know, Danson's, of course, won Emmys before, so it wouldn't be new territory for him to win, but he hasn't won for this series, and he's so good in it. There is one bit at the very end of the first season that that I don't want to give away for anybody that hasn't watched the show, but it's a big reveal. And he just turns on a dime, and it is so good. He should win an Emmy just for that little one, you know, 10-second scene. So I would really like to see him take it home. But on the other hand, you got Eugene Levy, who, again, like Catherine O'Hara, veteran going back to SCTV, has been in everything. I don't think has ever won anything. And it would be great to see him honored for, you know, an amazing career.
I can't disagree with that either. Oh, my God, that guy.
I mean, if you only know him from American Pie, and as good as he is in the American Pie movies, he's great in those movies. You are missing out on somebody who is really a comedy legend and beyond overdue to be awarded for his work.
Outside of the guest movies, because obviously all of those that he's a lead player in, he's just brilliant. That man's amazing. But in terms of his past work that's more straight, I think he got underrecognized for his part in Splash.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people now just think is a broad, goofy 80s comedy and forget the fact that it won an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. It's that good, and he's that good in it.
And if you watch it on Disney Plus, don't worry, digital hair is now covering Daryl Hannah's bottom. Yeah, yeah, that's a whole other story. We could probably spend a whole show just talking about that kind of stuff. Jeremy, do you have any particular favorites in this category?
I echo a lot of what you guys say, and not to disparage any of the nominees. I think there are some incredibly talented people in this. I can only go with what I'm familiar with, and that puts it to Ted Danson and Eugene Levy. I've been a Ted Danson fan forever. I'm pretty sure everybody in our generation has been a Ted Danson fan forever. But I couldn't agree more about all of the Christopher Guest stuff and just how Eugene Levy has been holding it down for such a long time and not the kind of person who you would traditionally think of as being the kind of person that would sweep accolades, because a lot of times those performances are overlooked. So it would be wonderful to see them actually be acknowledged for that kind of work. Because, you know, taking a script and reading a line takes an immense amount of talent, and it's not to take away from that. But improvisation is a totally different skill set, and the fact that they're able to get on there and just do what they do and have the room to breathe, there's so much of themselves that are brought into the characters, and I think that's something that doesn't get the appreciation or maybe the admiration that it should.
Well, guys, we are up against another break, but when we come back, we'll talk about some of the other categories at the Emmys. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Okay, let's get down to it, boppers.
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We are talking about the Emmy Award nominations, and we're going to move on now to the category of Outstanding Limited Series. First of all, my guests on the show today, Jeremy Branch and Chris Wilkes.
And just to say, excellent choice. Not only is that a perennially great song, but we also referenced the Warriors earlier. So,
well, and that's not even the reason I played it, but the reason I played it is because we are going into Outstanding Limited Series, and right, the nominees are, and it will become clear by the end of the list, Little Fires Everywhere, Mrs. America, Unbelievable, Unorthodox, and Watchmen, which is my reason for playing that song, because that song, of course, tells you that Alan Moore knows the score, and Alan Moore was the creator of Watchmen, and that has now gone on to be an HBO miniseries that follows up not the movie that you may remember from a few years ago that Zack Snyder directed, not that adaptation. It actually is a direct follow-up to the comics in miniseries form, taking on some of the same aspects that the comics take on, in that there's additional reading material that you can go online for each episode that adds to and colors everything that just happened in the main story, and just brilliantly vivid and multi-layered and fantastic fantastically written show that ends up being so of the moment, and really because it came out about 5 or 6 months ago, maybe a little more, prescient in a lot of ways to everything that's going on in the world right now. And I think, Jeremy, you have watched this as well. So talk to me a little bit about how you feel about Watchmen.
Yeah, you and I discussed it real briefly a couple episodes back, and then you mentioned that you had gone and checked it out. And when someone asked me what my favorite television series is, I immediately say Game of Thrones. Obviously, there were some issues at the end of the series. All that said, it was 7 years of just some of the most fantastic television ever put out. My second favorite series, my second favorite series is Watchmen. It is so thematically rich and relevant and just all around awesome performances from Jeremy Irons just everybody involved in this series made it feel like such an event. And I guess as of today, we're going to say that there is no season two, which is, you know, we've kind of heard murmurings back and forth about that. But I've never seen a movie that was just so, it let you know what it was. It put all the cards on the table within the first 10 minutes of the episode. And while I know that turned off a section of the fandom community, good riddance. You know what I mean? Like, didn't need those people anyways. So, like, I just love that it is so unapologetically telling the story that it's telling, and from such a specific voice that we don't get to see represented very often, especially in the context of this kind of superhero genre. And true to Alan Moore's vision, this is a subversion of superhero tropes, and I really like the way they handle issues of race relations, police brutality, systematic racism. I mean, some of the biggest, heaviest themes that you could possibly tackle, and they do it just so elegantly. And I will say, A God Walks Into A-Bar is one of the best episodes of television of all time.
Well, and, you know, I'll say, too, that it even subverts some of the things that were set forth by Alan Moore in the comic, which is, yes, to me, very interesting. Now, Alan Moore, for those who don't know, is, you know, a genius visionary creator, but he also has a...
And a grumpy old crazy man.
Yes, very, very grumpy, very much feels like everybody in the world has ripped him off. And to some extent, that's true. I don't buy into his particular arguments about Watchmen because of the real origins of this project were him doing a pitch for a group of characters that already existed, and DC coming back to him and saying, well, we just got these characters. We don't want them to be unusable after this series, and they will be pretty much unusable after the series. No, it was the characters from Charlton Comics. So it was the parallels, know the characters. Captain Atom is Dr. Manhattan. Blue Beetle is Night Owl. The Question is Rorschach, et cetera, et cetera. There is a very...
Some of those Charlton characters wind up getting owned by Archie Comics?
DC still owns all of those characters. You're thinking of the You're thinking of the Red Circle characters, which originally were owned by Archie and still are. But DC did publish them for a time. So you're thinking of the Fly and the Comet.
Different. And you're smarter than me, so I'm sorry.
Different. No, I just have more useless knowledge rattling around in my head. And that is very much the case. Now, Chris, have you seen Watchmen yet?
I have not, because I do not have that HBO streaming service. I've heard wonderful things about it. I am, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, a ridiculous fanboy of the Zack Snyder movie, and was a fan of Watchmen long before that. I think most people's fanboy griping about that movie is unwarranted. In fact, I'm actually a Snyder fanboy up until they gave him DC proper. Now, of course, Watchmen was DC, but I liked even his lesser-liked movies like the Howl movie and Sucker Punch, which I think is the best eye candy movie, and not because of girls, but just visuals in general, next to Speed Racer, which I also find to be unheralded. Stupid movie, but brilliant and beautiful.
See, I am a fan of the Watchmen movie, too. I know there are people that have their qualms with it, but I think it's about as good a film adaptation as you could have done of that property.
It is.
And that's the thing I think that the series gets right Is that it doesn't try to be an adaptation.
I think it's, I'd say next to Into the Spider-Verse, I think it's the single best comic book movie ever made.
Well, and that's, to me, the thing that the series gets right is that it does not try to be an adaptation of the comics. It is its own story.
And I do want to watch it, but again, watch. But yeah, I do not have that particular service, so I have not seen it yet. But I've heard nothing but great things about it.
Well, the, the
bad things I've heard about it have been middling and the same kind of issues that people had with the movie. So,
well, you know, the Academy very much agrees this is by far the most nominated program of the year, with 26 nominations, plenty of acting nominations, and really in every category you can think of. This is very beloved across the board. The critics loved it. It did very well. To go back to what Jeremy was saying about a season two, that was the thing. Originally, they planned for this to be a continuing series, and Damon Lindelof, who is the showrunner and the creator in terms of created the show.
Oh, he's never done anything successful before.
Yeah, yeah, nothing like Lost or, you know, anything like that. But but anyway, he got to the end of the season and he said, you know what, I'm done. I've told the story that I wanted to tell, and I don't have any more here. And HBO, to their credit, said, okay, well, then the show's done. They didn't try to go out and find somebody else to do it or to artificially continue it, despite it was making the fact that it was, you know, getting good viewership and was definitely a success.
They could have brought in Orpheus Kurtz.
No. So that's the thing there. And if it feels like we're laser focused on Watchmen and talking about this category, let me just ask both of you. We'll start with Jeremy. Have you watched any of the other four nominees?
I saw Little Fires Everywhere, and I thought it was not quite as good as Big Little Lies. I mean, it's good. I felt like it should have been called Microaggressions, the series, but, like, it was all right.
Microaggressions, the series. That's interesting. And for those who don't know, the connection between Little Fires Everywhere and Big Little Lies is Reese Witherspoon, who produced both shows and stars in both shows.
I was going off the word little.
Well, I'm sorry?
I said I was strictly going off the word little, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, really? Really? Oh, that's interesting.
No, I knew.
Yeah, and then of course, she was also in The Morning Show, which is nominated in the series categories this year as well, but she didn't get nominated for anything. She got no, although I think the producers get an award if it wins, you know, the series award, and she is a producer on all of them, but she did not get nominated for acting in any of these, so that's kind of one of the seen as one of the big snubs this year. I have not watched Little Fires Everywhere yet. I've, of course, seen the ads because it's a Hulu series. So if you watch anything on Hulu, you get inundated with promos for Hulu's programming. But it's interesting because I haven't seen a whole lot of promos for Mrs. America, which is on that weird subset service, I guess is the best way to put it, Hulu, FX on Hulu. So there is FX on your television, there's FXX on your television, and then there's FX on Hulu, which is stuff that's produced by FX that's made for streaming rather than to go on the network. So
I heard there's also FXXX that comes on after Cinemax After Dark.
Yeah, I don't know about all of that.
Correct.
and this stars Cate Blanchett, of course, Academy Award winner. And, you know, there's some talk that if there's a possible spoiler or a possible competitor for Watchmen, it is this show. I haven't seen it. I don't know much about it other than what I just told you. And then the other two, Unbelievable and Unorthodox, I'll be honest with you, hadn't heard of before they were nominated.
Same.
Okay, so I don't feel so terrible now. I'm sure there's some quality work in both of them, but I don't even know what to tell you about either of them. And Chris, do you have any input information?
I have no
thoughts?
Clue. And honestly, the only newish streaming drama that I've watched enough of to gauge any of its merit, I guess, hasn't been nominated for anything, and that's The Hunters with Pacino and a thousand other people.
You hold that thought because we're going to go into the series category here when we come back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Okay.
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Little bit of Stranger Things there for you to bring us into the last segment talking about the Emmy nominations with Jeremy Branch and Chris Wilkes. And we are getting into the Outstanding Drama Series right now. Of course, Stranger Things nominated in that category for its season 3, along with Better Call Saul, The Crown, The Handmaid's Tale, Killing Eve, The Mandalorian, Ozark, and Succession. I think the big surprise here for a lot of people was The Mandalorian pulling out an Outstanding Drama Series nod. A lot of reasons that was a surprise. First of all, you don't see a ton of science fiction in this category, although it's been getting better. You know, we've had Game of Thrones, a fantasy series, winning a lot of recent awards in this category. And then Handmaid's Tale is definitely in the sci-fi realm, and obviously, of course, Stranger Things as well. But this is the first Star Wars live action TV series, I have to say, because of course we had the Ewoks and the Droids animated series back in the day.
Ewoks TV movie too.
Yeah, but that would be under miniseries and movie. Under drama series. Also breaking the mold in that it's a half hour show, where most drama series are hour shows. And this is just, it was expected to, you know, it was very much loved and critically acclaimed and all that kind of thing, but it was expected to be one of those things that got a lot of, you know, Guild Awards. It got a lot of, you know, special effects and makeup and hair and things like that. And it did get a lot of those nominations, but the drama series nomination was kind of one of the big surprises to come out of the nominations. And it also got a guest actor nomination for Giancarlo Esposito. So some heavyweight out of the gate here for Disney Plus. And I also got a nomination, lest I forget, for Best Voiceover Performance by Taika Waititi, who we were talking about earlier in the show.
Yeah.
He plays IG-11 in the Mandalorian, who is a killer bounty hunter robot droid. That's the kind of series we're talking about here. So,
Nope, he didn't get that.
Well, you know, the Emmys have spoken. What can I say?
I get it.
But we're going to look at this category in a little more depth, I don't think anybody's really predicting The Mandalorian or Stranger Things to win this category this year, unfortunately. Really, it seems like the buzz primarily is behind Succession, which is HBO's series of a Rupert Murdoch-esque kind of family and the internecine battles between the family for control and power. Have either of you gotten a chance to see this, Jeremy? Have you seen Succession yet?
I've seen it, and I think it's a fantastic show. Who would have thought that I could get behind so many horribly rotten, just terrible people? It's a very good show. And, you know, first, just broadly, I don't like this category. I have such a hard time pitting Better Call Saul and Succession up against Stranger Things and The Mandalorian. There's something about that that just creates this cognitive dissonance for me. I'm like, how am I supposed to compare this, like you said, 30-minute kind of serialized adventure science fiction thing with what I would consider to be almost like a prestige genre, a prestige drama like Better Call Saul.
It's very much the broadest category of the major categories. You know, you get into, I mean, there's other categories that we won't even get to on the show, like, you know, variety series or talk series or things like that, where it's very much, you know, of a piece. The nominees are very much of a piece. Reality competition, you know, those are going to be, you know, shows like Survivor and The Voice and things like that. You know, those are very narrow categories, but drama is so broad because you've got things like Stranger Things that play so much on nostalgia, but does have a lot of drama, but it's also got a lot of action and a lot of mystery.
Horror.
Versus Better Call Saul, which is a Breaking Bad prequel, but it's got some humor to it. You know, The Crown, which is a period costume drama. It's all very different from each other. So it does seem to me like the other series out of these that is getting the buzz this year as the possible winner, if it's not Succession, is Ozark, which is one that's been on my list for a while.
Well,
it's super good, Julio. And Better Call Saul is one that I'm actively watching right now. I'm not caught up yet, but Ozark and Better Call Saul are just such good, compelling drama. And Succession, I feel like I can be a little in or out. It just more depends on the episodes, because there's not these huge dramatic moments in Succession in the same way that there is something like Ozark in particular. If I had to pick a winner out of this list, I'm going Better Call Saul, and that does not diminish by any stretch what Stranger Things has done. I will always love Stranger Things Season 1 as some of my favorite television of all times, but it's difficult to go back to that well multiple times, and it still kind of gives me the same feeling and that nostalgia that you touched on. I feel like that's the thing that was so special in the first season, and then it kind of, that sheen wears off, and then what you're left with is the writing and the performance, and all of that stuff is very good as well. I wonder how much longevity that series has moving forward. And
well, I believe they've announced they're only doing one more season, so, or one or maybe two more seasons.
Next one?
Yeah, it may be the next one, or maybe the one, there may be two more, I'm not sure, but it's definitely no more than two more.
Interesting. So yeah, I think this could go a couple different ways, and I would be cool with it. I'm throwing my hat in the pot for Better Call Saul.
See, I would, just going back to Stranger Things for a minute, I would, whether it wins the award or not, or whether it ever wins any awards or not, for me, the nostalgia part of this is not faded, but I am exactly the same age as these kids. I was the years that they're doing in the series,
sure.
I was that age. Year. So for me, it's very much hitting that sweet spot. And I would love to see them, you know, maybe get to graduate high school. That would be where I'd like to see them get to. And it would probably mean we'd skip over a couple of years in between the next couple of seasons, but because they're just getting into high school now. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I love the show and love the characters. That said, I would be very surprised if this is the year that it wins the Emmy. I think it maybe had the best shot in its first season. But, you know, who knows what they're going to come up with in the seasons to come. Chris, I know you're a big Stranger Things fan. I think you're a Mandalorian fan too, right? Do you have any insights here?
The most I know of Better Call Saul is I've seen maybe a third of Breaking Bad. Everything I've seen, I've really enjoyed. I know the story. I know the characters. I know the thrust of everything. But I haven't actually seen all the episodes. I've seen none of Better Call Saul. That said, I almost think that between Stranger Things and The Mandalorian, that this might be a year, kind of like the year that Return of the King family finally won the Oscar. And this is paraphrasing because I don't remember the actual quote, but coming from somebody that had actually, you know, no involvement whatsoever in the movie or those movies, to come out and say this after it won, Spielberg said, "We finally did it. Finally, people realized that genre can still be compelling drama."
But I don't think you can. I don't think you can say the Emmys have not realized that when Game of Thrones won Best Series, what, the past three seasons?
And you know what? And we've talked about this before. I've never seen a single episode of that show.
Well, I know you haven't, but it definitely has received the critical acclaim.
I don't hold that as acclaim. Any kind of badge, like, oh, I don't care what. I just haven't. It's one of those things that I know I would probably like, but that by the time I realized that, it had gotten so deep into it that it just seems so dense and. Like, I can't even catch up with this. But no, you're not wrong by any means. I'm throwing my hat in the ring for The Mandalorian just because that's the one that I've seen all of and that I think works as a drama as well as it works as a genre show. I think it's an outlier, but it wouldn't be the first time an outlier actually pulled the win.
True.
It's a show that I don't think anybody expected to be as good as it was. And that in itself is kind of puts an extra feather in its cap. I don't think anybody expected that show to be as good as it was or to take off the way that it did.
See, I really think though that it's going to swing the other way, because I think that the last three seasons, I believe I'm correct that it's the last three seasons, Game of Thrones has won this award. I think they're going to swing away from genre this time. And I think it's probably going to be Succession, although maybe there's an outside chance for Ozark. I think anything that is fantasy oriented is not going to win, or science fiction oriented is probably not going to win this season. There's also some clues in that, things like Better Call Saul gets nominated, but Bob Odenkirk, for the first time in the run of the series, doesn't get nominated for Best Actor. Handmaid's Tale gets nominated, but for the first time in the run of the series, Elizabeth Moss does not get nominated for Best Actress. So, you know, the clues as to where the greater things are going. We're almost out of time, but before we go, is there anything in particular that you think was a big why isn't this all over the place nominee this year? And we'll start with Chris.
I got this. I've waited for a moment to say this before. A Hulu series that technically is called PEN15, but if you write that out, you can see what it actually spells. That I think is brilliant. It's female-driven, both in its main characters and in its whole creative team. I think it's hilarious, and I don't think it's gotten any accolades so far. It's one of the few things that I've actually followed on Hulu's service in terms of their original content, and I'm stunned that it hasn't gotten any accolades, really.
Jeremy, real quick, you got one?
Yeah, it's difficult because there is so much stuff out there, and I haven't even seen all of the nominations there are. I did want to say, I'm not trying to gatekeep. I'm so excited that series like Game of Thrones are able to be nominated and actually receive awards in the drama series. I'd love to see Betty Gilpin get an award for her performance in Glow.
I'm wearing a Glow t-shirt with her on it right now.
Nice. She's fantastic. And then also Regina King for her work in Watchmen. I feel like the Academy needs to take note of her in particular. She's so multifaceted and talented. So those are a couple of things I would like to see come out of it.
And thankfully, both nominated. Guys, it's been a blast. We could talk about this for hours more, I'm sure, but we do have to go. We will be back next week. Until then, you're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.